I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is January 1st, 2012. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, taken from the website of Wintry Knight, who gushes over a judge he likes. He begins by saying, "Here are some steps that I would recommend to Christian parents if they wanted to have a better-than-average chance to make a judge like this judge." Knight is referring to the judge who decided the Katrina Effort case in Canada, where the mother who strangled her newborn was given a suspended sentence. He wants to produce judges that think as he does. So here are 8 steps he gives to produce these types of judges. Number 1. The Christian man, when single, should study in a tough field, even if he hates it, like computer science. Knight, telling Christians to spend their precious brief lives doing something they hate is consistent with Christian principles. Good start. Number 2. The Christian woman, when single, should study in a tough field, even if she hates it, like computer science. Knight, I was going to give you an A for consistency. Then I noticed that you seem to be promoting gender equality. That is most certainly unchristian of you. Number 3. Both of them should work at jobs that pay well, even if they hate them. Knight, it's a good thing no one has ever entertained the idea of hiring you to write an advice column. He said, and save their money in preparation for their marriage. Knight, marriage is one thing you will never have to worry about. Number 4. They should get married, and then she should stay at home to homeschool several children. Knight, so what was the purpose in telling her to get a computer science degree if you just want her barefoot and in the kitchen? I understand the homeschooling part. You certainly wouldn't want them learning about science and other religions. Number 5. They should try to be as frugal as possible so they can afford homeschooling, private schools, and college tuition. That's right, Knight. Homeschooling, private schools, and Christian colleges will keep them as pig stupid as is Christianly possible, so that they will grow up to be good little ghost worshippers, obediently hating everyone outside your death cult. Number 6. They should teach their children about all the different areas in the world where the truth of Christianity or Christian values are being attacked by different ideologies and speculations, in this case, by feminism and abortion. Knight, you are such a piece of work, a total control freak. You are completely unaware of what a silly caricature of an adult man you portray to everyone. Even most Christians can't stand you. I have to argue with people who email me that you are actually a real person and not a Poe. A Poe is someone doing a bad Christian imitation for the purpose of demeaning their faith. Number 7. They should analyze the skills and talents of each of their children and try to lead them towards fields where they can have an influence on the world for truth and for goodness. Well, Knight, in that case, Christianity is the worst choice you could possibly give them. If there is truth or goodness in Christianity, it must be well hidden. He said the main criteria is not what the child wants, but what the child can do well. Great advice, Knight. Create miserable, unhappy little kids. And don't forget the best part. Threaten them with eternal torture. I can't understand why any woman wouldn't tear off her brassiere and just leap into your arms at the thought of what a great dad you would make. Knight continues from what he previously said, which was, the main criteria is not what the child wants, but what the child can do well, to which he adds, and what serves God the most. Money, Knight, money. Religion is always about the money. Take the money out of religion, and it would disappear faster than a free drink at a frat party. That last line was taken from my book, Afraid of Hell. If I were you, Knight, I'd run right out and buy it. Knight continues, what the child wants is a factor, but not the main factor. Knight, and what the mother wants is not a factor at all, is it? And finally, number 8, one of the children might go on to become a judge. Hey, Knight, read the shows I did on the Pledge of Allegiance, and you can see the results of what happens when ghost worshippers, who put their faith above their sworn oath to uphold the Constitution, reach positions of power. Fortunately, many Christian judges are honorable enough to keep the two separated as the Constitution requires. What do you call those, Knight? Oh, yeah, activist judges. And now for our second crazy guy, J.W. Wartick talks about himself. He begins, my story is long, not of necessity, but because I like to talk. Well, right, but you get the idea. J.W., I find that the most intelligent people are the ones who've learned how to listen. I would even go so far as to say that the amount of time that one spends speaking is inversely proportional to intelligence. So, J.W., I'm not surprised at all to learn that your mouth is always on run. Wartick said, it's not a story about how I'm a recovering drug addict or something. I think it's really quite boring. It's a story of a young man who grew up in the church, always believed in God, doubted for a bit, and then was called back to a full and wonderful relationship with God. I'm a pastor's kid, and I was raised in the church. It wasn't until I was about 19 to 20 years old that I began to be reflective about my faith. Yes, J.W., excessive masturbation will tend to do that. What you needed was a woman to help you get your mind off fantasy. I see from your website that you found one. Now you've got something wintry night will never have, the opportunity to have sex while someone else is in the room. Wartick said, I felt that the scientific paradigm of the age of the universe and evolutionary theory presented hefty challenges to Christian belief. J.W., you have a gift for understatement. Science has proven beyond any doubt to rational people that your holy book is nothing more than an ancient collection of malicious fairy tales designed to control people with threats of unimaginable horror if they don't submit. Wartick said, in moments of despair, I went to friends and poured out these fears to them. Primarily, however, I would pray, crying out to God to let me know He was there. J.W., billions of people have done that exact same thing. Interesting note about that. A billion of them received an answer. Yes, I am here. My name is Allah. Oddly, all of these people lived in predominantly Muslim countries. About 2 billion of them received a different answer. Yes, I am here. My name is Yahweh. Oddly, all of these people lived in predominantly Christian countries. J.W., isn't it just the most amazing thing that you didn't get an answer from Allah? Gee, I wonder why that was. Wartick said, God called me to Him and revealed Himself to me. J.W., now you're starting to creep me out. You're the guy who is always trying to claim that science supports your beliefs, and now you confess that you're hearing the voices? Not a good sign, J.W. Not a good sign. He said, this moment is very personal, and my written account of it is quite long, so for these reasons I won't be posting it here. Thanks, J.W. Remember the classic comedy from the 70s, Airplane? Remember the guy who could talk almost as much as you and was just about as exciting as you? Remember the scene where the old lady sitting in the seat next to him turned into a skeleton while he was telling her his life story? Well, that's how I feel when I read your website. Wartick said, I realized after this event that I wanted to do something for the glory of God. Initially, the most obvious choice was to go into the ministry. As I continued my studies, however, I discovered my passion was not in ministry, but in the scholarly side of church work, specifically philosophy of religion and apologetics. J.W., in other words, lying. He said, I was reading more and more of these two subjects and found myself deeply engaged in both mind and heart. See, J.W., that right there shows why you need to spend less time in the Bible and more time in the science books. You are only engaged in the mind. Your heart is a blood pump and has nothing to do with it, any more than does your liver. He said, I have heard it said that God calls everyone in different ways. J.W., how does he call babies who starve to death? Wardick said, he called me through a vision. J.W., so in addition to hearing the voices, you were also seeing things? J.W., you don't need drugs. You've already reached the same place without them. He said, while also calling me through various works written by his people. Why, J.W., did he think the voices and visions weren't enough? Wardick said, thus I decided to go into philosophy and apologetics. Good career move, J.W. Lying for Jesus. There's good money in that. He said, I'm unsure of what my future holds in these areas. J.W., there's not a person on the planet who knows any more than you about the future. If we did, that would take all the fun out of life. Hey, maybe that's why your God is so grumpy. Knowing the future has removed any chance he ever had to be surprised. Wardick continues, though my eventual goal is to have a kind of traveling seminar which instructs the laity in basic level apologetics, while also writing works that range from novels related to Christian issues to basic level philosophy of religion to advanced apologetics and philosophy of religion. J.W., if your God were real, you wouldn't need apologetics. He said, I have seen God opening doors as I've pursued this dream, a dream which, in retrospect, is quite funny. J.W., I wouldn't call what you plan to do funny. There is nothing humorous about teaching people hate, bigotry, and lies. Wardick said, I remember when I was young thinking that nothing could possibly be more frivolous than philosophy. Now, philosophy is my life. I used to be mostly a fideist, not realizing that one needs to always have a reason, hence the header for my site. J.W., I've mentioned that title before. You don't have reasons. You have excuses. Reasons would be backed up by evidence. What you do is as far from reason as one could possibly get. He said, my interaction with God used to be limited to going to church mindlessly and praying once in a while. Now I strive, though often in my human weakness fail, to have an open and engaging relationship with God. J.W., how can you have an open and engaging relationship with an invisible ghost who threatens you with eternal torture if you dare to disbelieve in him? That defines a coercive relationship, the exact opposite of what you just tried to describe. He said, I find myself saturated with both scripture and philosophy, and I could not be more happy. God continually guides me in this process. J.W., did you ever stop to think that with all the other important stuff he has to do, that maybe having to continually guide you is really starting to piss him off? Did you ever stop to consider that if he didn't have to devote time to guiding you, that he might have time to save at least some of the starving children in Africa? Wardick said, all right, hopefully this gives enough biographical data to satisfy those who wanted to know more. J.W., actually, after reading your bio, I feel kind of dirty, almost violated, but in an oddly sexually stimulating sort of way. He said, feel free to ask me questions about my life. I'd be happy to answer them within reason. J.W., I already know more about you than I ever wanted to know. But it was my own fault. I've read some of your essays before, so I can't say I didn't know what was coming. He said, the images used as my site header are on a random loop. I've featured pictures of the Torah along with pictures of distant galaxies. I've always been in wonder about God's creation, and these images help reflect that feeling. JW, now I get it. The Torah tells the story of how an invisible ghost created the universe in 1 week by magic, and distant galaxies show stars that God made because... Help me out, JW. Why did God make those galaxies? Now Wartik says, P.S. as a final note. Jesus Christ, JW, there's more? He said, I wanted to make it clear that I realize some of my older posts may not be up to par. Some of my new ones may not be either. Credit this to the fact that I'm still learning. JW, you believe an unemployed carpenter did the tango while walking across a lake. You believe God stopped the sun and the moon in place for 24 hours. You believe that unicorns actually existed. What is it exactly that you are still learning? And he concludes by saying, I delete or update posts as I realize they are useless or need modification. Other posts are faulty, but I let them stand because they at least had a few good things to say. JW, name one. And now we move to the science segment. Today's article, Disaster Looms for Gas Cloud Falling into Milky Way's Central Black Hole. The normally quiet neighborhood around the massive black hole at the center of our Milky Way galaxy is being invaded by a gas cloud that is destined in just a few years to be ripped, shredded, and largely eaten. Many, if not all, galaxies have massive black holes at their centers, but this supermassive black hole is the only one close enough for astronomers to study in detail, so the violent encounter is a unique chance to observe what until now has only been theorized, how a black hole gulps gas, dust, and stars as it grows ever bigger. When scientists look at the black holes in the centers of other galaxies, they see them get bright and then fade, but they never know what is actually happening. This is an unprecedented opportunity to obtain unique observations and insight into the processes that go on as gas falls into a black hole, heats up, and emits light. It's a neat window onto a black hole that's actually capturing gas as it spirals in. The next 2 years will be very interesting and should provide researchers with extremely valuable information on the behavior of matter around such massive objects and its ultimate fate. Since 2008, astronomers have seen the gas cloud about three times the mass of Earth speeding up as it has fallen deeper into the gravitational whirlpool of the black hole. Its edges are already beginning to fray. By 2013, scientists should see outbursts of X-rays and radio waves as the cloud, composed mostly of hydrogen and helium gas, gets hotter and is torn asunder. The light emitted around the black hole could increase by 100-fold to 1,000-fold. The Chandra X-ray satellite has already scheduled its largest single chunk of observation time in 2012 near the Milky Way's central black hole. Astronomers have long observed clouds of gas streaming toward the center of our Milky Way galaxy, presumably destined to fall into the 4.3 million solar mass black hole lurking there. But this black hole has a surprisingly low amount of matter falling inward at the moment. Since astronomers began observing the black hole in 1992, they have seen only two stars as close as this gas cloud to the black hole. The crucial difference is that those stars passed unharmed through their closest approach, while the gas cloud will be completely ripped apart by the tidal forces around the black hole. As the cloud skirts the gravitational influence of the black hole, it will come within about 40 billion kilometers of the event horizon, about 250 times the distance between the Earth and the Sun. Even at that distance, the gas will get stretched out, with probably half spiraling into the black hole and the rest flung outward. As the cloud falls toward the black hole, it will interact with the hot gas present in the accretion flow around the black hole and become disrupted by turbulent interaction. Its current velocity is about 2,300 kilometers per second, twice what it was 7 years ago. Thanks to the very large telescopes, years of observations of the black hole at many different wavelengths, Scientists were able to simulate the time evolution of the cloud and predict that the temperature of the gas cloud should increase rapidly to several million degrees near the black hole, dramatically increasing X-ray emissions. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Carol Tavris, born 1944, she is 67 years old. Tavris is an American social psychologist and author. She received a PhD in social psychology from the University of Michigan and has taught psychology at UCLA and the New School for Social Research. She is a fellow of the American Psychological Association, the Association for Psychological Science, and the Center for Inquiry. Her articles, book reviews, and op-eds have appeared in the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, the Times Literary Supplement, and other publications. And now for the quote from Carol Tavris. The scientific method consists of the use of procedures designed to show not that our predictions and hypotheses are right, but that they might be wrong. Scientific reasoning is useful to anyone in any job because it makes us face the possibility, even the dire reality, that we were mistaken. It forces us to confront our self-justifications and put them on public display for others to puncture. At its core, therefore, science is a form of arrogance control.
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.